All right, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors, and there's been a lot of social media activity and things about the red tide in Florida and a lot of finger-pointing, a lot of things going on. And I said to Christopher yesterday, I said, let's get to the bottom of it. Let's get somebody local down in the Tampa area. And we've got our good friend Captain Dave Chouinard on to tell us what's really happening in the west coast of Florida. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How's everybody up in beautiful North Carolina and the North?
Well, I think we're faring better than you. What's happening with this red tide and all these fish that are dying as a result of it?
Yeah, it's a real natural and fueled problem for sure. So let's try to clean up the muddy waters right now, or algae-filled waters, a little bit for all our listeners and really understand what's going on. First off, I think the most important thing to grasp is that we have two different problems going on in Florida that's making for a perfect storm. We've all heard and seen about the Okeechobee problem and how Florida is one of the world's largest water filters. When you look at the old historic maps of Florida and you look at the water coming down from Kissimmee and down into Okeechobee, and how beyond south of Okeechobee, it is just thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of the river of grass, the Everglades, as we know. God designed all of this to filter this massive amount of water that comes through the state and down, trying to make its way down south into the Florida Bay and further south. Well, this filter is supposed to do its job. So that disruption of the water moving south, and maybe for this interview, we're not going to talk so much about sugar and the problems we have there. Well, that's caused this pumping of nutrients out these rivers in the Caloosahatchee and St. Lucie River, and that's formed our blue-green algae, which really is a whole problem in itself, right? It's a cyanobacteria, and it's very blue and green, and it causes all sorts of nervous system issues. It's related to Alzheimer's, respiratory issues. It goes on and on. So we know that's been documented, and that has a problem. Now, let's talk about this red tide, or as many people know it, it's that Karenia brevis, or K. brevis, is what this algae is. And the difference is the blue-green is a freshwater algae, okay, forms in lakes, rivers, and then we're artificially pumping that into the salt water, and it's dying because it's a freshwater algae. And we'll talk about how that can feed a red tide. A red tide is a natural forming thing. So red tide, or this K. brevis, it forms like 10 miles and miles and miles offshore. Could be 10 miles, could be 30 miles, whatever. It's been naturally occurring since the 1800s, or as long as we can remember. Some of the old Spanish settlement people and all this, explorers, I should say, would note how in Tampa Bay and other areas they saw these big, massive dead fish and had coughing issues from this red tide. But these things in the past would come and go. They were natural. They would last a month or 3 months, and they wouldn't be artificially fed to make this explosive epidemic that we have. Now, let's fast forward, okay, into the current world of today. When you have upwards, maybe I've heard rumors of 1,000 people a day at times of the year are moving to Florida, but you get all these people who move to Florida and they don't want to live inland. They're not moving here to do farming and agriculture and whatnot. They're moving here for the Florida sunshine dream, and that's to be near water. Water is the connector of everything here in Florida. Well, when you move this many people near the coast, you have everybody wants to have beautiful green lawns. And everybody wants to have beautiful landscaping and you name it. Well, our infrastructure in Florida can't handle this amount of people. So you start looking at the amount of runoff, the amount of, we got a big discussion here on this Monsanto, all these, chemicals that we put to, kill grasses and weeds and all that. And then you have fertilizers and lawns and whatnot. Well, all of this makes its way to our creeks, our rivers, our estuaries, and that ends up bringing all sorts of nutrients into the water and chemicals that actually blows up the red tide. So that is an issue. So as this naturally occurring red tide hits not only all of this population and nutrients, It also, down south, got super fueled by this amazing amount of dying blue-green algae, which we know the problem to that. And so it's made an epidemic of proportions we just rarely see. So this one started in October. Here we are today, heading into September, almost a year later, and it's still going on. And the latest reports are over 3 million pounds of dead fish. We're talking about some of the largest operations to clean fish off the beaches to try to, you know, gain some sense of reality, you know, of normalcy. And so that's what we're going through today. Yeah.
Now, Florida, of course, exists on tourism and also sport fishing, and many, many people make their living catering to sport fishermen coming and visiting, going out for a day or two or three, tarpon fishing and so on and so forth. And the Tampa Bay area, of course, is a mecca of tarpon fishing. What's happening there? I mean, there's got to be a lot of guides and captains like yourself that are just in a total panic.
Oh, it is that, and it's so far beyond that. I'm having meetings with a lot of people and various companies in the fishing industry, and you got to understand, I mentioned it before, water, the single drop of water, water's the connector of all life in Florida. So yes, we're going to be looking at the captains, the tackle shops, the, you know, all this, but wait a second here. We got to go to the restaurants, then you got to go to the hotels, then you got to go to the retail establishments. Everybody is tied into the water in Florida, okay? So we're talking about when all the dust settles and all the coughing stops, and let's face it, this red tide is gonna go away. So everybody who loves Florida, you'll be back here loving Florida again. There may not be as many fish for a few years. We'll have to see in some areas, but even that, God seems to make things work. But the fact of the matter is, when all this dust settles, you're gonna look at a loss, not in the millions, and maybe not in the tens of millions of dollars to the state. And why today, you're not going to run from this, right? There's going to be discussions that goes on saying, look, we can't keep sweeping this under the table. We're going to have to address that if the whole country and world loves coming to Florida, we're going to have to put our big boy pants on, and we're going to have to address, yes, year-round bans on fertilizer, address our infrastructure on, do you know Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg, Florida, and other municipalities have admitted, and they've been caught, if you want to use that word, to dumping hundreds of thousands of gallons of raw sewage into our estuaries right from the sewage plants because we can't handle the sewage coming in. We can't handle the water table rising and hurricanes and wet seasons. And you're going to read about this saying, we just dumped raw sewage into your waterways. How do you feel about it, people? There's going to be some real discussions that have to happen on that end. And then, obviously, this super fueling of this by this Okeechobee problem, because we need – Florida will repair itself. Our estuaries will come back, and it'll be as pretty as it's ever been if we give it a chance. But we definitely need to make some changes to minimize this going forward, as opposed to having it being the normal.
Well, and Dave, you hit on a lot of things there about, you know, the value of nature, the value of water, to not only Florida but to our country and the world as a whole. I will tell all the ladies and gentlemen just tuning in, whether it's via podcast or WBT Airwaves, that we have Dave Chouinard from Ozona, Florida, which is just right up from Tampa. Right up from Tampa, yeah. President of Chouinard Outdoor Associates. And you actually work with us with Sims, Umpqua, Hatch, even Winston, products that we carry in our store. And for those who may not know, we're talking about the red tide. And just so I can ask this, the water does turn red at some point. Isn't that correct?
Yes, I was out yesterday. We went down and we caught some snook on some fly rods and flies, and it was a great. We try to stay in touch every week and go to different spots. And so I went to the mouth of Tampa Bay and down to this beautiful, I mean, the mouth of Tampa Bay is like the Caribbean, right? It's just an epic place. And we went out there to Passage Key and Egmont, and we actually did see this red tide in some spots. We did see some dead fish, patchy here or there. We were still able to leave that blotchiness, find some clean water, just like fish would do, right? These fish, maybe this is a culling of the herd of some fish in the sense of if you're not smart enough to swim away, or maybe God didn't make you as a nature of a type of fish that's going to go migrate somewhere else, you're just going to succumb to the conditions. Other fish are going to move, but like fish, let's go move and find some clean water. And we did, and we caught some fish. But you will see, be able to see it. You can also feel it a little bit. I'm a little more tuned to it over 25-plus years coming here, where I can feel it in the back of my throat. Even if I don't start coughing, I kind of sense a little bit, hypersensitive to it, to saying, you know what, there's something around in the area a little bit, right? And, you know, that's the way you can tell it's around.
Well, it's quite an epidemic, and as you say, it will heal itself. It will take time. The Mother Nature is remarkable that way, and especially the saltwater systems have an ability to clean themselves up and so forth, and this algae bloom will go away. It'll be back in a gosh knows how many years again, just like they always have throughout history. And we certainly thank you for a firsthand view of this, Dave Chouinard.
Well, thank you. I can't thank you and your listeners enough. There's a common thread all of us outdoor lovers have, and that is we mention it with a drop of water, but we also love to travel, whether it's hiking the Appalachian Mountain Trail from the far north to the deep south or wherever we're going. We're all tied in with this love of the natural world that God gave us. So if any of your listeners are watching and online, we're all connected, and you see these, you know, take action, sign this petition, do this. You do it, right? Get involved in anything that has to do with water management and how we handle these things. Because the more we expose this to our politicians and our community leaders, the more we voice it, the more we're going to be able to help Mother Nature protect herself in the future. So thank you, all you outdoor listeners, for anything you can do.
All right, that was Captain Dave Chouinard. We'll be back in a few minutes on the Carolina Outdoors.